Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast, 780 Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Ryan is somewhere in San Diego. I am in San Francisco. Padres Giants, four games. It begins a stretch of 14 games against the National League West in the Padres' next 17 games. That was awkwardly said, but I think I got the gist across. Ryan, where would you like to start?
You know, let's start just real quick with a quick look back at what happened with their last series. This was, you know, as much as we can say a game on June 1st is important, I really did think that Sunday's come from behind win mattered for them. Not so much that they won the game, but more so in that how they won it. This was sort of a throwback game to the Padres of way back in late April and early May. The way they were able to sort of, you know, pass the baton, really get to the opposing team's bullpen, et cetera, et cetera. The players even seemed to think after the game that this was significant. What'd you make of yesterday's game? And again, taking a third consecutive series.
Yeah. Find a way to win, have a good feeling, get a break or two, you know, remind yourself who you are. These are all important. Now they need to carry it forward here, right? It's been a grind. It's funny to me when you have a game like that, then some of the things that maybe they just sort of reluctantly acknowledged or denied while things were going rough, all of a sudden it's kind of like little things they say let you know that, man, they were happy that, you know, people weren't trying to be the hero. People were just taking the pitches that they were given. And if those pitches were balls, they took them, you know, not trying to do too much. And, you know, I thought it was big. I think that everyone, even Mike Schilt, acknowledged to some extent it was big. My first reaction, because for someone who doesn't, and I believe he doesn't pay attention to the outside, be that stories that I write, others write, fans are saying. I don't think he pays attention, but man, it's sure on his mind a lot. So he was really happy for the rest of us that we were reassured. But he acknowledged and players acknowledged that this was a good win for them.
Yeah, it's important. You know, I think that we've talked so often about stacking wins against bad teams, beating the teams you're supposed to beat, because, you know, it's going to be important starting here with this next stretch. You know, the Padres have a very busy couple of weeks up ahead of them. Kevin, take me through, you know, sort of the next 2 weeks and what the challenge that awaits them looks like.
10 more games to go in this stretch of 13 and 13. Then there's, you know, it's 26 games in 27 days. They have a game off after that series at home against the Dodgers next week. But that's a 3-game homestand. You start a trip then, 3 in Arizona, 4 in Los Angeles. You come home, 3 against the Royals. I wish I could remember who was after that for a 3 at home, but then you're on the road again. Cincinnati, Philadelphia, you're home for an off day. Then Texas, Arizona. It's a stretch here going into the All-Star break. And there's no, when I say the NL West, they played 8 NL West games. They swept the Giants at the end of April. And they've gone 5-1 against the Rockies. And the Rockies are the only team where you could be disappointed to have gone 5-1. It's not those teams. It's the Giants who are having trouble scoring as well. And it's the Dodgers and it's the Diamondbacks who appear to be falling apart. But I'm assuming that people from the outside might look and say the Padres are if not falling apart, you could accurately assess that that they are struggling. But certainly 7 games against the Dodgers in an 11-day span starting next Monday.
It's just going to be huge. Kevin, for all the good news, I think, coming out of the last week or so in terms of, you know, the Padres appear to have pulled themselves out of this tailspin they were in, playing better baseball, doing things the way they did in April and early May. You know, there are still some huge concerns, and I think that these things are going to become a little bit more magnified as the Padres play better teams, right? Notably the Dodgers. One of them to me is left field. Gavin Sheets took a header into the left field fence yesterday, chasing down a home run ball, went over the fence. Really scary looking injury at first. He appears that it to not be something that's going to require multiple weeks away from baseball. But you've got a guy who's essentially out of position playing left field because the Padres still need a left fielder. Is this at all a wake-up call in terms of, hey, now's the time to to go try to add, or at least try to come up with a more long-term solution now that Padres are heading into a very busy 3 weeks?
Sure, you could call it a wake-up call. I mean, they were already searching for sure. But in terms of your, I think the gist of your point is, like, this illustrates the urgency. Absolutely. Look, I've been told the issue for them is not money. That, I mean, obviously they're not adding somebody who's going to be making $20 million a year for the next 5 years, but they're going to find they're trying to get a good, affordable outfielder. And the money is not the issue. It's, do the Padres have the prospects to line up with someone else? That's the issue here. AJ Preller has made things work. And so you must trust that will happen. But this has been going on for a month that they need one. I thought the same thing yesterday. Like, kind of the biggest thing here is, like, that guy shouldn't be in left field anyway. Right. So, you know, when Gavin gets hurt out there, it's like, oh, well, your DH just got hurt in left field. That's a shame. So, this is a thing. Now, here's the deal, though. Their starting pitching depth is cracking, and that's huge. So when is Michael Keane coming back? Is that sooner than later? It sure seems like it. Can you count on it? When's Yu Darvish coming back? Is it soon-ish? Sure. Seems like it. Throwing another bullpen today. Won't be full speed, but, you know, getting there. Okay. Look, outside of Nick Pivetta, and I got to say this, credit to the Padres. They've won three straight series while not playing well, while not pitching well, while their bullpen has leaked a little bit. But their starting pitcher's ERA is 7.36, other than Nick Pivetta. So take Nick Pivetta out. And we're talking about a lot of 4 and 5 inning outings, giving up 3, 4, 5 or more runs during this time where they've actually won 6 of 9. This is not trending well. So you can't talk about needing a left fielder and not also say, what are you going to need with the starting pitching, which would be far more expensive. I believe that Ryan has either left the chat or is just kind of, a little glitch wherever Ryan is, you know. But so I'm talking about the starting pitching, the left field situation. Is Gavin Sheets going to be okay? Look, it's as we tape this early afternoon Monday, I have not gone to the clubhouse yet, have not even talked to anyone today about Gavin Sheets. Hopefully we will have an update on him. But there's another issue that you would add to that is, look, he was walking around fine, but he got hit in the shoulder, the wrist, the forearm. Mike Schill said something about concussion protocol, but they were thinking it's like a head bruise. But, like, is Gavin Sheets going to have to go on the IL or miss 2 or 3 games? And so, look, Jason Hayward's not close to coming back. Brandon Lockwood's going to have to play in left field. Like, yes, there are issues.
There are issues. And you know, I think that the worst thing that – I guess the thing that jumped out at me yesterday, and the reason why I'm asking that question, Kevin, is – one of the worst possible scenarios here would be Gavin Sheets, this guy who has been essentially found money for the Padres, right? The big feel-good story for them. If he were to get hurt and miss significant time because he's playing out of position, to me, that's a problem. And frankly, they need his bat, right? I mean, this offense is mighty right-handed and, not a ton of slug. And he provides both some left-handed sock in the order, and somebody who I think can be a long-term piece for them. Just really, again, the really great story so far, assuming he can stay healthy. To me, that's part of it. And, you know, we need to, Kevin, I'm sure we'll talk more about this as we get closer to the deadline. The Padres have finite resources to spend, whether that's prospect capital or whether that's money. Will they prioritize pitching or will they prioritize a left fielder? And can you do both? That to me is the big question as we head into the month of June.
There's only so much they can do with the pitching. So yes, I think they'll prioritize both. The left fielder thing has been the priority for so long. Like, it's still the priority. Plus you have Matt Waldron, Ryan Bergeron. And I'm not saying that they can't do better, don't want to do better, but, like, you know, they're you're not going to add an ace, right? So especially with the resources you have. So both are a priority, and that's not ideal. But yeah, I guess I'd be shocked to my core if they don't add a left fielder. And I would be surprised, unless it's like, boom, Michael King's back, Yu Darvish is back, or Matt Waldron comes up and no one can hit him. I would be surprised if there's not a, you know, another starter to add there, because they can at least, I'm kind of going like worst case scenario, they can at least try to survive and hope the offense comes around with a middling starter, right? But you can't start going into 2021 levels where you're just desperately searching for pitching in August. Can't happen. So yes, both can be a priority, but there are limitations on what they can do.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I'm guessing if it's going to be a starting pitcher, it's going to be more of a Martin Perez caliber acquisition than it would be, say, trading for an ace, right?
Who was a godsend. But yeah, I mean, that's also turning a guy who had an 8 ERA into a guy that had like a 2 ERA for you. I mean, that was right. Amazing. And then he was a guy that you wouldn't use in the playoffs because you didn't trust him. So, but yes, I agree. But that kind of then shows you like, okay, I guess you're hoping for lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a tough place to be in, you know. I don't know. You would think that in Major League Baseball, it wouldn't be that hard to find a league average left fielder at a reasonable price. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, the Padres have been trying in-house, and it seems like they're auditioning different guys and nobody's sticking. So,
well, it also is a matter of, as we both have pointed out, what do they have to give?
Right.
So, and when they're going to give, they want to make sure they're getting better than what they've got. Now you could say, well, they can easily get better than what they got. Well, yeah. Okay. But they got to find that guy. They're the ones who got to find that guy. We all get to say, oh, you can get better than what you got. Well, they got to find that guy, and they got to give up some pieces to do it. Clearly, they've been creative, and they're not afraid to do that, to package guys. But they just don't have a lot to give. And where they do, outside of guys that are, you know, virtually untouchable, is in some pitching depth, lower, younger, or maybe one of their relievers. And it's like, oh, are you really going to do that? Well, I think they have to.
Right. And that's where you try to match up with a team that's maybe just starting a rebuild, right? Maybe that's where you go, hey, Chicago White Sox, right? Eloy Jimenez, maybe he makes some sense. Luis Robert Jr. Maybe he makes some sense. It's again.
Maybe he does. But what are you giving up? Because he hasn't been good.
Right.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. It's really easy. I'm with you. Yeah, absolutely. That's better than what they got. What if he comes here and hits 184? Like, and what did you give up for him? So that's what they're doing, as they've flooded, the market with scouts and that's what they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when the Padres traded away Corey Kluber at the trade deadline for a guy who didn't hit. And so I'm sure that there's a little bit of that in there, maybe in the backs of some fans' minds, right? I mean, you don't want to part ways with Leo DeVries. Yeah. You don't want to part ways with Ethan Salas. You know, you probably don't want to part ways even with somebody like a Boston Bateman. So if you're not trading those guys, what minor leaguers are available? That's a great question.
Now, here's the deal. They have some young guys that people in baseball know about. And that's where I say the Padres have not been afraid and certainly can't afford to be afraid. Look, another sellout yesterday. People are fired up. You need to make the playoffs this year.
Right?
I mean, you need to make the playoffs this year. So I think they're going to go out and do it. It's just, it's not as easy as we make it seem.
Sure. Kevin, can I oversimplify something here? Padres heading into a 4-game series with the Giants this week. Are the Giants good?
I don't know. It sure seems like it. I mean, they got some good pitchers. They can't score. What was the note that Jeff Sanders had? It was May 16th. They haven't scored more than 4 runs. I think that's a span of 14 games. That we kind of knew about them. That has made some of their pitchers not getting the results they want for doing okay. Again, seems like it's the Giants we're always asking this question about. Are they good? I remember 2021, we asked it all the way till they won 106 games, I think. So they are, what, a game back? I think they have as many wins but two more losses than the Padres. I think that's what it is. Right now, they're better than what the Padres have been playing and struggled against. And they face Logan Webb and Landon Roop, who they beat both of them in April, but they were a different team then. They face Kyle Harrison, a young guy, I think, making his third start. And they face Robbie Ray on Thursday, who, by my count, has seven straight quality starts with a sub-2 ERA.
Wow. Wow. Again, my previous stop, Kevin, was Arizona. I watched a lot of Robbie Ray about 7-8 years ago.
And that's the last time the Padres faced him, by the way, 2020.
Yes. But the thing with Robbie Ray, it's so interesting. You know, when he's healthy, he's really good. Huh. He is really good. Huge strikeout numbers. You know, a guy who brings it. The question is, are you willing to pay frontline starter money for a guy who's not available a lot? And, you know, that's, man, a healthy Robbie Ray, I think, makes them a much different team.
And he has been, and that's where you get into the value of it. If he can be this guy this year for them, and they can make a playoff run and make a run in the playoffs, then Robbie Ray was worth it, right? So, yeah. So you got Colet going against Webb tonight. I think it's kind of obvious, Jeff Sanders does as well, that it's Ryan Berger who will get called up. He could probably be in the clubhouse this afternoon when I go there to face Landon Roop tomorrow. Then Pivetta against Harrison on Wednesday. Dylan Cease. Why did I make that face right there that I just did, or shrugged, or whatever it is I just did? Because Dylan Cease should be better than he is. But that could be a great matchup on Thursday, Cease and Ray.
Yeah, it absolutely could be. Absolutely could be. Any update on Michael King?
Michael King is sort of playing catch, and that's to, like, keep the arm loose, I guess. Stayed back to see some doctors, but that was just to see, I guess. They feel pretty good about where he's at, but that was to just see what could they be missing, what more could there be. They, like I said, I think I use sooner than later, not the 6 weeks, but it won't be next week that he's pitching. So, and then we're going to have to see. If it's not next week, then are we talking a rehab assignment? So now we're talking about the week after that, like, and then the end of the week after that. They really wanted to get another start out of Kyle Hart, but that just, they needed some bullpen help. And, you know, then what that did is now the vacancy in the rotation is tomorrow, Tuesday. And that means that Matt Waldron is not available since he just made a start on Friday. So maybe Matt Waldron is next time, depending on how Berger does. And there I'm making the assumption that it's him. This will be interesting. 10 games and the last 10 more games to go. And the last three of those against the Dodgers. Very, very interesting.
Could it be Yu Darvish taking that spot?
Conceivably. They still say that Yu Darvish could do without a rehab start, maybe. But we're talking about the guy hasn't even thrown 100% yet. Almost certainly not. I want to make that clear. But Yu is just such a unicorn that I never want to rule anything out, and they don't rule anything out. But it's been such an interesting deal with you. I wrote about in the newsletter today. He finally sort of alluded to something I've talked about, which is, you know, he's going to need to change his routine. And you can read about that there. But I don't think that that it's you that soon. Maybe toward the end of this month is probably what you're going to see.
Okay.
If you see him. It will probably be then.
Are you surprised that he didn't want to talk about his reasoning for not wanting to join the rotation a week ago from a health standpoint?
Not really, only because of knowing you. But your question, yes, I guess if it were not you or Yu Darvish and that maybe you would have expected that. But he's very private, very sensitive to that. Plus, there is the ability to, this was in English talking to him. And while his English is in many ways better than yours and mine, you know, they're in terms of getting some of the nuance across, I don't know how comfortable he is with that. And so not necessarily. Plus, it is this ongoing situation. It just is. I know it's very frustrating to people, but I've explained it the best I can in terms of you is structurally okay. But if a guy's not comfortable pitching and having to sort of learn how to work through some things physically and mentally at, you know, 38 going on 39 of, oh, I need to be this new kind of pitcher. I need to prepare myself differently. I need to work differently. Like, that's something the team's going to trust him to do. And I think that's a little complicated to explain. Plus, as I led with, use fairly private. That said, I was very glad that he spoke to Jeff like 3 or 4 days ago briefly. He spoke to me and AJ Castavel yesterday. And I was very, very grateful for that. And in terms of being able to then pass that information on to the fans.
Sure. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every podcast episode. Today, it's pretty straight ahead, man. Is it time to start worrying about Fernando Tatis?
Wow. I want to say no, because it's Fernando Tatis Jr.
Right.
This is his worst slump outside of a mid-July to mid-August, about the same length. It was 28 games then. This has been 27 games where he's hitting 179 with a 615 OPS, doing my research for story. So it was a little better average, a little worse OPS back then in 23. He pulled out of it, but guess what? Over the final 62 games in 2023, he hit 217 with a 645 OPS. So, like, you know, we're not, maybe it's not over like anytime soon. It's weird. He's struggling with the fastball. He's changing his batting stance, sometimes at bat to at bat. It's wild. And they keep saying, oh, it looks like he's doing this work. His hard hit rate is actually up. Like, during this time, his chase rate is down, which is good. During this time, he's just hitting ground balls and popping up.
Yeah. It's strange. I mean, I still think, you know, this is a guy who still gets the biggest ovations at Petco Park every night. Somebody who I would not count out to step up in these big series coming up against the Giants and Dodgers, especially. But the numbers aren't good. I didn't know till I started doing a little bit of a deeper dive myself, just how much of a funk he is in.
It's really something. And I talked to him recently about his sort of mood, right? And he works on that and tries to be a good teammate. And it's a part of the growing process. So it's rough. He wants to do well, man. Like, it's rough. I'm pretty sure. Well, I know June, I think, is his best month. I just said, I know, I think. June is his best month. I think Oracle is one of his better parks. So maybe, but the guy I'm watching right now with a different swing all the time, different leg kick all the time. Again, I'm not a coach or a scout, but it doesn't give you that sort of confidence that you often have with him, Manny Machado, that, oh, the next at bat's the one where they're going to pull out. It's just, you don't have that confidence right now with Fernando.
Right. Padres Giants 4-game series from San Francisco. And then after that, Kevin, you're off to Milwaukee, is it?
It's Milwaukee. That'll be a red eye. No hotel that night. That'll be Friday. It'll be fun. Yes. That's a weird one. It's one of those that happens, though, where you're West Coast, boom, Midwest, and you're like, wow, okay, another game today in a new city. Think about how the players feel. That's where, like, when Manny Machado, who oftentimes is just talking when he says stuff like, it's a grind, that's baseball, because you know what? Manny does feel pressure. Manny does want to carry this team. But a lot of times when he says that, it's just the absolute truth, man. It's a grind.
It is. It absolutely is. Well, Kevin, sure, we'll check in from Milwaukee coming up a little bit later this week. 4-game series, Padres Giants, starting tonight, Monday night in San Francisco. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.